Good afternoon and welcome to our mentor call all about the base chakra. This is the first mentor call that where we start to look at the chakras. We're going to be looking at them one by one. And today it's base. And I'm Agnieszka and with me is Adamantia.
Hello, everybody. It's Adamantia here. Happy New Year. And yeah, welcome to the call and welcome to our journey through the chakras. This is, I believe, our fourth mentor call, and we didn't actually plan to start with January with the base chakra. It just unfolded that way, and it's perfect. So, and we are going to be starting looking at the base chakra today, but first we're just going to do just a little bit of overview of the chakra system in general, and of course there's endless, I mean, it's a lifetime of learning with the chakras. And especially, you know, what we have on the online BAM and what we go over in the live events as well. And just to refresh on, but what are the chakras really? And because they play such a vital role in our being, in our existence. And really they're organizing centers. You can look at it that, organizing centers of energy. And they're located within our etheric body. And that's really where and how we receive and transmit and process life energies. And what really is going on with our energy bodies, the energy of the external world, the universe, you could say, is filtered through our electromagnetic field, and also known as the aura, more commonly known as the aura. And then through that, it filters in through our chakras. And then our aura and chakra function general really affects our reality, our life experience, our health, and levels of consciousness, as each chakra does represent different levels of consciousness. And we deal primarily with the 7 main chakras. And like I mentioned already, each one represents a different aspect of consciousness essential to our lives. And when we really look at our life experience, we can say that the energy that's created within by our emotions, our mental attitudes, our life experience, our beliefs, our conditioning, they run through our chakras and then are distributed throughout our cells and our tissues and our organs. And we're going to be looking at that today as well, as what goes on inside energetically as the chakra, the energy is coming in, filtered through what's called our nadis in the body. Has over 70,000 nadis, energy centers, and from there filters through into the organs. So I guess you could really look at it as there are doorways through which our emotional, mental, and spiritual life flows into our physical experience. And yeah, each one has its own energy frequency, and with the lower ones, so like the first 3, the more of the denser frequency, lower levels of consciousness. And then as we get up higher levels, and it's about balancing throughout our inner being. And that's when we talk about, we've learned in BAM and in the live events, whether it's the full body awakening or onto level 1 and 2, about how the energy is running throughout our central nervous system, which is called the Shushumna. And then we have the Ida and the Pingala, which does a dance around the Shushumna. And that's the left and the right brain function, the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system. And how everything that's vibrating inside us emotionally is coming out to our external world, and everything from our external world is coming inward. So we're really going to look today at how our body is affected by our chakra state, I guess you can say, and how our consciousness, how related they are emotionally, and different states of consciousness with each chakra. So, yeah, I'm going to pass it over to Agnieszka, and she's going to continue with that.
So today we're looking at the base chakra. The base chakra is all about survival instincts and stability. And if you think about chakras in terms of Maslow's pyramid, the base of the pyramid is about survival, it's about self-preservation, it's about having food and shelter and having your basic needs met before you can move on to the other levels of consciousness. So this is the same with the base chakra, where right there. It's the grounding chakra. It's the closest to Mother Earth. It draws energy directly from Mother Earth, and it's the main power station of our body. It is the base, so the energy from Mother Earth comes in through the base chakra first, and then moves on to the rest of the body. If your base chakra is clear and your flow, the energy flows through it easily, it can flow to the rest of the body and nourish the rest of your body as well. So when the base chakra is in out of balance, that can present in a few different ways. You might feel a little bit unfocused or anxious. There are certain diseases that are associated with the base chakra, and we'll go over them in a few moments here. I just wanted to go over the basics of the base chakra. So the base chakra is located at the base of the spine, or the coccyx, the little tail at the base of the spine. And it also includes the outer thighs, buttocks, and calves. The color for the base chakra is red. The element is earth. The sense is smell, our sense of smell. And if you think about the our ancestors, the cavemen and people who were really, in ancient times, people were really focused on survival and fighting for their food and stuff. So the sense of smell was really, really important at the time because it could save your life. And that's why the sense of smell is associated with the base chakra. The sound for the base chakra is do, as in do, re, mi, do. And the related endocrine gland is adrenal. And Adamantia will be talking more about adrenals in a little bit. And so when I look at the diseases in the base chakra and the discomforts in the base chakra, I've grouped them by certain groups. And I just want to relate each one to the base chakra and how it presents in the base chakra. So the first dis-ease or imbalance in the body that has to do with the base chakra is being overweight or being underweight, fight or flight. And that is because if our base chakra is in balance and we don't feel safe or secure, we might be hoarding nutrients or in our body, or we might be trying to escape our body and running away from ourselves, in effect. And that's where anorexia and even anemia would come in, is running away from yourself. The second group of imbalances that has to do with base chakra are digestive and elimination problems. So constipation, more elimination than digestion. But yes, digestion, it plays in the base chakra as well. But constipation, diarrhea, that includes Crohn's disease, colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, and any kind of imbalance in the bowels. Sometimes people experience diarrhea that is interspaced by a constipation, which is constipation would be holding on really tight, being afraid to let go, being afraid that our next day is not going to be okay, that our survival is threatened, and basically trying to gather and hold on to as much as we can because we're afraid. We're coming from a space of fear. And then diarrhea would be letting everything go. Oh, it's all bad anyway, so I might as well let it all go, right? So those are the two energies that are influencing the base chakra there, constipation or diarrhea, either way. Now, addictive behaviors fall under a similar thing as well. Maybe it's as similar as the weight gain, because it's gathering everything to yourself, right? Thinking that tomorrow may not happen, so let's live for today, and let's do everything today. Let's eat all the cookies, buy all the T-shirts, drink all the wine. Let's do everything today, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. So that kind of a fear-based overindulgence might turn into addictive behavior as it fills a void that we have within ourselves. And what we're actually trying to do is run away from ourselves again. And so the other way that the base chakra can be out of balance are bone issues. Bone and tendon and cartilage issues, arthritis, sciatica, calcium deposits between the bones. That's all base chakra issues. It's like trying to force ourselves to ground more because we don't feel grounded. We feel out of balance. So And also arthritis has to do with circular thoughts. I want to, but I don't want to. I want to, but I don't want to. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. That whole idea of repetitious thought could definitely bring on arthritis. And, yeah. And so those are, I'm looking at the word impotence on my little note. Impotence is also associated with the base chakra, but that also has to do with being afraid, based in fear, afraid of survival, afraid of stepping into your power because, oh my goodness, what could happen? At the base, it's the fear of being rejected by the tribe, right? Sense of unworthiness. Right, Adamantia?
Yes, right. That's awesome. I just wanted to actually just add one thing as well to the base chakra, which would be about manifestation and abundance. That is really the place where we bring everything out and to be manifested into the physical form. So, you know, and I've spoken with many people who are of higher consciousness who are very connected, who are getting their guidance, but yet they're having difficulty bringing that down into the earth realm to manifest that. And it's because of not being embodying, being in the body, perhaps from past experiences that are causing a disconnect there. Again, as Agnieszka mentioned, any fear. And the first chakra to actually be engaged at birth is the root chakra. So if there's any imbalances happening in the first essential few years as well, can affect that area. And it really is an integral component of an individual's ability to manifest their ideas and goals. So in the past, if I've been working with someone who hasn't been able to manifest yet, they're connected, they have very clear vision, and perhaps they and say they even know about chakras, and they think, well, maybe it's a higher chakra issue. It's not. I'll always bring them right back into what's going on in their base chakra, in their foundation of being able to now embody these ideas. So what's about bringing balance as well within the chakras, bringing those ideas down to be manifested? And the thing that I love about psychosomatic therapy and looking at the body is how our body is constantly talking to us. And that's why we're going to get into a little bit about the emotional connection with the body parts. So, I mean, as I mentioned, the base of the spine, the coccyx, there's the pelvic plexus, the outer thighs, the bones, the buttocks, the calves are part of the base. So is the sciatic and the rectum and the perineum. And as far as organs themselves go, we have the kidneys and the lower bowels and the adrenals as a gland. So when people are having issues with their body, specifically finding out what emotional connection is connected to that body part or organ or gland can be it's like clues into coming up with what is the body really translating. So looking at the base chakra, say even with the lower bowels, the colon there, I mean, like we mentioned, yes, it's all about security issues, feeling secure or insecure, but real signs would be irritability. So now again, that's where the irritable bowel syndrome label has come into effect. But what is causing an irritability? Also emotions of anger or being cranky are related to the bowels. So someone's also feeling, say, a depression's another one, or like a forlorn feeling, deep worry, anxiety, nervous or emotional stresses. These are all signs that something may be going on in the base chakra. And there's also then the kidneys. And they play a part. The kidneys aren't only in the base chakra. Some are multi-chakra organs or body parts, as we'll find as we start going through them. The kidneys and the adrenals, well, the adrenals are in the power center as well, in the solar plexus. But the kidneys are about emotions connected to like fright, fear, and shock. So somebody's experiencing some kidney issue. Something perhaps like constant urination. The emotion of fear that's trying to be released from the body in constant urination, for example. And I have had numerous people who have that condition. And especially when we look something like urine or any fluids in our body, issues with fluids, it has to do with emotions in general anyway. But with the kidneys in particular, again, it's intense fear or fright. And then again, associated with them are the adrenals. I don't know. I have this love affair with the adrenals. I don't know why, but I just do. I think they have the ability to say so much to us. And excessive stress, emotional outbursts of anger, things like that are signs that something going on with the adrenals and the base chakra. And also actually interesting, because Agnieszka had mentioned weight gain, with the effects are of releasing the hormone cortisol, which can lead to weight gain through the adrenals. And then this affects our kidneys and affects our base chakra. But then moving upward, it actually affects our solar plexus as well, because the base and the solar plexus chakra actually are connected, are partner chakras. And I think that's the other thing that I love about the body. We can heal one issue and then it heals in another area as well. So those are basically what's going on as far as body parts, emotion. We've seen a lot of fear, insecurity, doubts that are signs that something is going on with the very basic foundation. I find that if that foundation isn't solid, it's like building a building. If that foundation isn't centered strongly in the earth, what is built upon it is going to be unstable. So a perfect place, I think, for us to start and to even just open it up to just further discussion about any experiences that you have had in regards to the base chakra, any questions in regards to any diseases or emotions. I think if we open it up and just have a discussion, that would be really juicy.
Somebody else has joined us. The label is Greenwood. Who is that? Hello?
Hello?
Is there somebody new who's joined us?
Okay. Well, why don't we open it up and see Lucy or Kay, if you have any comments or questions or anything you'd like to discuss in regards to the base chakra?
Oh, my God. Where do you want to begin?
I hope that's a good oh, my God.
Yes, it's a great oh, my God. I mean, this is so obvious, but I don't think we've ever come across this, or at least I haven't paid attention about the details of the diseases to do with the base.
Yes.
So this is like so obvious, but I just came to get my binder to see if it's in here, and it's really not.
Which binder, Kay?
I just picked up. This one is the Full Body Awakening one.
Yeah, there's a lot that we've added just over the years of studying the.
It's in the bag.
Yeah, but we've added a lot of diseases. I think from the ones that we talked today, and as far as the emotional connection as well with the emotions.
Right.
Was there one in particular you were that?
No, I just want to write it down. Because these are very common things that we come across.
Yes.
You know, in this field.
Yes.
So I just, this is great. I don't know if I should write it down now or go back to it.
Yeah, or we can go through the list and see if anybody else is wanting to write it down as well as they're listening to it, or I can send you the list of the basic chakra diseases that are associated, you know, and it's not even necessary. Go ahead.
If you have a sheet, that'd be great. Otherwise, I can write it down. Like fight or flight, all fight or flight symptoms come from their weight gain.
I wouldn't use the word all, because I think it's never all one or not, one way or not. What am I trying to say? It's not all or nothing. I think though with it's they're clues. So weight gain, yes, as Agnieszka explained it with a fight or flight.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like the hoarding.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like that. Or being skinny.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be more of the flight. So it's like I'm out of here. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, the whole constipation thing.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I had constipation for, let's see, how many decades?
Three to four decades.
And then I had, and then it switched from constipation to diarrhea.
Right.
Which is, you know, both sides of two sides of the same coin. For a decade.
Yeah. And where is that now?
Oh, it's been, you know, what I consider as balance.
Nice.
For the last 10 years or so. However, hey, like, I don't see other people's poop, so I don't know. You know what I mean? This is the issue. This is my whole issue. I never knew until I got into health. I never knew because I was a kid. And when I heard a doctor friend say, well, so long as you eliminate every day, you'd be fine. And I was thinking to myself, I was about 19 at the time, I was thinking to myself, how do you do that?
Right.
And I was too chicken to ask.
Yes. Well, it's not a discussion that people like to bring up generally. That's why it's great to have these calls, because we have no problem talking about poo.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. This is a that most people have, because these are all very private matters.
Yes. And so, when it comes to elimination, I think that the individual has to come into play as well. Like, I never personally would want to say we all have to go 4 or 6 times a day. Do you know what I mean? But I believe daily there should be an elimination happening. And as well, what it actually looks like when it comes out is significant as well. So, for example, and if you don't mind us getting into this, Lucy, are you with us?
Okay. Michelle Petticoat and someone else.
There's actually a book that tells you, you know, what to look for in your
Yes. Food. Yeah,
but I don't remember the name of the book, so I'll let you take over.
Okay, yeah, well, we won't get into too much detail because there is a whole world of study behind that, because what comes out of us says a lot about what's going inside us and what's going on in our intestines. But say, for example, if they're coming out as little balls, that's dehydration. It could be a sign of dehydration, but they should be coming out almost in the shape of the intestine, in a nice, long, like that a healthy elimination.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there should be a daily letting go of that, what we've digested, because it's not just what we're digesting, say,
like
food, but how we're digesting life, how we're digesting.
It's meant to come out like your intestines are soft and smooth.
I'm sorry? Hello? Oh, I thought I heard somebody else there.
I know there's two more people, Michelle Petticoat and somebody who's labeled as Greenwood.
Oh, well, they've just come into a very interesting conversation.
I'll say.
Well, we're talking about the base chakra and the
functioning
poorly. Yes, and bowel movements are a huge part of the health of the base chakra. So that's kind of, we were having some aha moments with that.
Right. No, I mean, I'm totally on board here. I struggled. I had an anal tear at one point when I was in my 50s, so there was a real heavy issue around elimination and not being able to eliminate, and fear,
right,
and all that sort of stuff. So it was hard.
Yeah.
I totally get it, and very, very careful about elimination. Very conscious.
Yes, very conscious, yes. I like that.
Very careful about eating the wrong stuff that's going to stop me up. Not interested in that.
Yeah. And that's actually how, when I look at, is that Michelle? That is Michelle, right?
That is Michelle. Mm-hmm.
Hi, Michelle. Hi. Kay and Lucy are on the call as well. And you know,
I recognized Kay.
Yeah.
Hi, Kay.
When I was in Sedona with both of you, observing Kay, what you put into your body, and it's like a temple. And you're telling me now that in the past 10 years your digestion has been better, whereas before it hasn't. So an emotional connection, emotionally, I'm going to ask, feeling at a better place perhaps than in those other times when you weren't being able to eliminate freely?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So think, sure. Yeah, and being conscious of what's going into our bodies and then what we're ready to let go of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Is there any other comments on that or other issues?
Other issues around that.
You were talking about...
Are we live here or...
Oh, yeah, we're live.
Who is that?
Oh, okay, because I wasn't sure if you have to push something to unmute or...
No, we were all muted, but then we've unmuted.
Okay.
We've unmuted, you know, so we have an open discussion with any questions about the base chakra.
I've got one. This is Bridget speaking, by the way. Hi,
Bridget.
Atomatia.
Hi, Bridget. Hi, Bridget.
Hi.
We have.
This is one of my favorite topics.
Great. Just so
yeah.
You know, Bridget, Lucy's on the call as well. She was with you in Sedona.
Oh,
we all
yes.
Have
Kay. Hello.
Yeah. And we have Kay and Michelle, and I'm not sure, but I don't believe you've met them yet.
And Agnieszka.
I don't think so.
And Agnieszka,
so my question, I was curious, you know, like with the base chakra and the elimination and things, what does it mean if you've got some hemorrhoids there?
Well, the hemorrhoids, you're not eliminating. There's a pushing, intense pushing almost of wanting to release but not able to fully release. And there's a burning sensation, so it's like a fire attachment to it. Would you agree in that?
Well, I go great. I've got no issue there at all, but I've got hemorrhoids there. So I was just curious.
And has this been going on? Has it been going on for a while?
There's just like one sort of permanent one there, and I'm like, it's time for it to go.
When did it start, Bridget?
What was that?
When did it start?
Gosh, let me see. I'm really not consciously aware of when. It's just been there for so long.
Because the next question I would ask you is, just think about it later, maybe. But the next question I would ask
you. Okay, I will.
What was going on in your life when it first started? Because that would give you a clue to how, what reaction, what you're reacting to with this hemorrhoid, right?
And in particular, the definition really of the hemorrhoid is deathly afraid to let go.
Okay.
Yeah. And that it says highly restricted and restrained in their functioning. And they're scared of generating rejection or remorse.
All right.
So that's why I think it's
interesting.
Pardon me?
So interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I think the significance of the question Agnieszka asked is what happened right before to trigger that feeling of really scared to let go. So it's almost like it's more like an intense fear of something, even if it's not conscious. So that might be why it might be hard to even remember when it happened. But even if you can have a rough idea, was it a year ago? Was it 10 years ago? And then to look back at what was going on in your life, in externally or emotionally or both, right?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
And then I believe when you get to the root of it that way and heal the emotional wound there, you'd be amazed at how the body will follow and can heal as a result of it's what the hemorrhoid's there to tell you will no longer serve.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Does anybody else have anything you want to talk about?
Yeah. Well, I could say more about the hemorrhoid thing, because that was also has been an issue for me. And it seemed to start out when I was going off to a spiritual retreat in the summer and would do fasting. And then when I would stop the fasting, I would probably start eating too soon or eating too solid, too fast. You know, even though I would try to do slowly, it's still that having deprived, those cells would all just want to eat. And then I would have, because maybe I'd be fasting for a number of days, like a week, and it would be really hard to get the system going again. And so then there was this fear that this stuff was putrefying inside and probably was pushing too hard there. But right. On another level, certainly that was a time when I was not sure where I was going or what I was doing with my life.
Interesting.
So were you afraid for, like, financial security or?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure I was. I mean, I was totally doing things that were, you know, just out of the ordinary realm, you know, taking time off, spending whole summers away, letting all of my, you know, life work just sort of slip away as I'd be gone for so long. You know, and on the one hand, I loved it because there was this whole realm, but on the other hand, there was, you know, what am I doing with my life? How could I be doing this? I'm letting it slip away.
So judgment.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And two different paradigms operating. One being, you know, the spiritual paradigm that says everything will take care of itself and, you know, you just surrender to the spirit and everything. And then there's the reality of, you know, back in the everyday life and trying to make a living. And would I be able to do that? Would they be able to pick up the pieces when I got back? That sort of thing.
Right.
So the interesting thing about fear is that, as Jim Carrey says in his famous speech, there's a big difference between a dog that's going to eat you and an imaginary dog that you think is going to eat you. But in the body, it shows up as the same.
Yeah.
Whether you're afraid of the real dog or you're afraid of the imaginary dog, your body may react the exact same way.
So I was concerned with the rejection on both sides. I was afraid of rejection from my spiritual teacher if I left, but I was afraid that if I went back, then I wouldn't fit into the everyday world. And so it was this being crushed between these two realities, and not really knowing how to assess inside of myself what I really wanted. For me, it was like just being pulled back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And being afraid to let go of one and the other, right?
Yeah. Right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, and how to have them balanced at the same time. I can totally understand that. I really appreciate that sharing there, that experience.
And so the family that you came from, Michelle, was it a very strict kind of family?
No, not at all. Not at all. They were. It was a large family, and I wasn't living at home anymore at that point, and I was pretty much on my own. It wasn't so much from them. It was at that point, you know, it may have been stuff that I had internalized, and both from them and the culture, but I wouldn't say they were strict. I mean, I can't say that they were particularly that they understood what I was doing. You know, I'm sure they thought I was weird and were a little afraid that I was in a cult.
Right.
You know, and they and there was, I'm sure, judgment when I would leave all my stuff in storage or have my sister, who was living back in New York, take care of things, like my mail and stuff, you know. That was like, why do I, you know, I'm sure there was judgment about it, but, you know, not unreasonable judgment, I suppose.
Yeah. And how did you work through that, finding balance of those two, the spiritual and then the actual physical, which are the same in essence, but how did you find balance through that process?
Well, in the end, I went back to the everyday world, but I moved to California, where it's sort of like a combination of both things at the same time. You know,
yeah,
it's
right.
Like I live in a world where it's possible to incorporate your spirituality into your daily life, and people don't think it's weird. You
beautiful.
Didn't speak that. So I think that helped a lot. You know, New York, people weren't really talking about spirituality much. It was kind of like weird.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other... Lucy, how are you? How's it going?
it's going good for me, and I was curious on if through the psychosomatic therapy that Carol uses, if she also uses healing questions or healing question guides to kind of get to the root of issues.
So, can you give me an example of what perhaps specifically you mean? Because there are always questions that arise in the psychosomatic process. Is it specific healing questions you're referring to?
Sure. I'm referring to the Healing Questions Guide by Wendy Jensen. And since we're talking about hemorrhoids, I'll just use these as an example. So she asks a series of questions to kind of get to the root of the problem. I'll just ask a couple of questions. What burdens am I carrying that are not mine?
Yes.
What value is there in predicting that I'm not going to be, that I am going to be rejected?
Mm-hmm.
What would be a healthier and more likely possibility?
Yes.
What will it take to notice all of the good and let what is not working work itself out?
Mm-hmm.
For this particular one, she has like 14 questions and then an affirmation behind it. So does any of those work in alignment with this type of psychosomatic therapy or not so much?
I personally would say absolutely. Do we use that book in particular? No, but it sounds like a great resource just from those questions.
I'm familiar with Wendy Jensen, and we do use some of her books for source materials. So there is some information that we've, I don't know if we used specifically her information or it's just one of the research books that we were using.
Yeah, so it's not like a book that we have in the classes, but it's very, yes. Answer your question, yes, we do use questions of that sort, and that happens. And everyone's been in one live event or another on this call right here, and there's constantly questions coming up, even just in the shares, when someone's having an emotional release, and even just working on a one-on-one with people, it's yes, asking those questions to get to the root of what is causing the specific issue.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, I like having a lot of different a la carte.
Can you speak up, Lucy?
If I said I like having a lot of different a la carte things to use for healing, like if this particular modality is not working on one particular issue, then I have another modality. So that's why I was asking.
Yes.
In a way, most modalities work together one way or another. But what I find very effective recently, what I've been finding very effective is when I am doing body work on a client and I am actually physically doing emotional release on a specific part of their body, and then I use the cognitive questions that arise from, you know, the part of the body, whether it's right or left, whether it's inside or outside, all those things, I come up with cognitive questions that I can ask them to assist in the release of the emotional blockage in their muscles as I'm working on the muscle. And I find that extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That sounds really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. It's a good question.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, because it's one thing to know what's going on, but then how do you release it? So, yeah, very significant. Yeah. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
I have another question, and that's since we're talking about the base chakra, Besides, or maybe this is it, doing the diaphragmatic breathing and the walking with a spring in your step and doing the bedroom yoga, is there anything that you might specifically do psychosomatically to work on the root chakra? I mean, I guess you would also do trigger point releases, like, if you know how to do that.
So I guess I would ask, is there something, so individually, for you right now, I'll just say, is there something going on? Do you feel an imbalance in the root chakra? Or just in general?
There's issues, security issues around that. I don't think I'm having any particular physiological thing right now, although this past weekend I was eating way too much bread and that created a great deal of discomfort. But other than that, you know, overall I don't think I have a noticeable issue there physically, but certainly emotionally there's a root chakra issues around feeling secure and safe.
I would also focus perhaps on grounding and the connection to Mother Earth and feeling, do I feel safe to be here? So even a grounding visualization daily and actually visualizing the chakra and closing your eyes and going to that area of your base chakra, your lower pelvic region, and feeling into it and seeing what even the energy is feeling like. And then are you feeling grounded? Do your feet feel like they're on the ground? So I would say incorporating a grounding technique as well.
Okay.
So we do have the walking, but the grounding as well.
And there are hundreds of grounding techniques. You could drum. You could hug a tree. You could do earthing. You could, smell cinnamon. There are many different grounding techniques that are service. The other thing that I would recommend, and this is particularly my kind of thing because I really like that analogy. So I imagine my inner female and my inner male as the parents of the inner child, right? So I sort of visualize that kind of thing. And then so as good parents, how would they reassure their little girl? What would they say to make the little girl feel safe? What does she need to hear at this time? And the benefit of having this type of visualization is here the parents and the child have the same values, same beliefs, same personality, same talents, same abilities. So they're really able to interact with each other in a deeper level. And that way, whatever they say to reassure is the appropriate thing that you need to hear at the time.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. Nice.
I just make this stuff up. But it's true, that technique works so well for me because my inner parents have replaced any kind of outside or I'm still working on it, but a lot of the outside reassurance that I was seeking in the past, I'm now able to gain from the inside, and working with that works really well for me.
That's great.
Nice. Yeah, I like that.
Last question. One more question.
You want to hear something funny?
Yes.
This is not a question. I have more questions after that.
But oh, no.
I just made a green smoothie in the Vitamix. You know the Vitamix?
Uh-huh. Yes.
This thing in the middle called the tamper.
Yeah.
I used to call it the plunger and got laughed at by the Vitamix people.
By the Vitamix people?
By the Vitamix, you know, the people who sell Vitamix. And when I called them to replace this tamper, and I called it the plunger, and they just laughed at me. In any case. Okay, you know how that works. I make a green smoothie every single day for the last 7 years, and I put in a ton of greens, and I push, and I push, and I push, and I push, and it goes, and I suddenly go, boom, and then it starts mixing itself, right? Every single time. That is like a constipation thing, and then a sudden release. Every single day for the last 7 years.
It's a fabulous
connected your base chakra.
But a fabulous good face chakra story.
It's brilliant. I love it. It's a good visual.
I thought you liked it.
Thank you.
May I ask a real question that has nothing to do with face chakra?
Go for sure.
Okay. The collarbones. I understand. It's not base chakra question, but I understand how to read below the collarbone, like, you know, indents and all this stuff. My question is, above the collarbone, you know, toward the neck there, doesn't everyone have a bit of an indent hollow, like a minor one at least? Or no?
Yes. Yes. And the thing is, it's when we're looking, doing a body analysis on someone is when we see an extreme, and the eye will learn to pick things up that may look extreme. So yes, sometimes it's not relevant when we're doing a body analysis. And this is for people who have already taken level 1-2, and the ones on the call who are going to be taking it, you'll learn more about what we're talking about with the body analysis. Sometimes I'll be doing one and their throat chakra is just fine.
Okay.
Right? Because there is just that natural way the body is formed. But it's when you can see a real difference, like a real hollowing or an excessive layering of protection, say around the neck. So a very thick neck. So yes, everyone does have some basic hollowing there.
Okay.
If you think about it, Kay, think about energy like water flowing through the body. And if there's anything that the energy could get stuck on, whether it's a hollow, like, you know, imagine a river and then suddenly there's a divot and the water goes into the divot and splashes out, right? That's what would happen if there was a water, like a river, and there was like a hole. So in the body, the hollow will also cause like a shift of energy, like either it's a blockage of energy where it flows slower because it's blocked, or there's a hollow, which means a drainage of energy, so some of the energy is still not getting through, but in a different way. So if you think of it that way, if you just glance at the body and imagine water flowing over it, would that water flow smoothly or would it have bumps and stuff, or even through it, you know?
Yeah. And keeping in mind that everybody's body is individual to them, so one person's hollow may not person's hollow. It's relative to what their body is saying in general.
Right.
Right?
Chakra.
I kind of, like, I'd never looked at, you know, other people's bodies in all these ways until I took this course. So I thought my, you know, hollows in my body, like the hollow down the back along the spine and all this stuff, was normal, right? Until I took the course, or the shoulder blades showing at the back to me is totally normal because I see it all around, but apparently it's not. So I'm just asking, like, what's not normal?
Well, I think it's important to realize that one person's normal is not another person's normal. So it's individual cases. To have that curvature, I mean, someone who doesn't have much of one, I mean, there's the natural curvature of the spine, of course, but then there's ones who are completely hollowed, like bending over backwards. So there are specific differences. So yes, does everybody kind of have, I mean, not everybody's shoulders rolls forward. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I think if case by case, but that's the thing, is we're not taught how to read the body. I mean, that's what, so people would think that it is normal until they actually learn the psychosomatic process of what the body is saying when there is a hollow in the back.
Talking
about the throat chakra, there's so many elements that we are to look at before we make any sort of diagnosis or decision as to what to share with the client. There is the skin quality, like the actual skin, and there is whether the skin is flappy or loose or taut. There is, you know, lines or wrinkles. There are whether it's filled with fat or not. You can look at the shoulders. Are they rolling in? If they're rolling in, the hollow will be more pronounced. if they're not rolling in, the hollow will be less. All of these different structural differences, whether on the surface of the skin or in the bone structure, they all tell a story.
Yeah.
Got it.
And I think that's the beauty of just keep doing the analysis, because I think more shall be revealed each time you see a different body and then a different person again, a different person. And, you know, you might just want to do, okay, I'm doing body analysis on throats today. You know what I mean? Just look at people's throats. Or today I'm going to go out and I'm going to observe people's shoulders. And so it doesn't even have to be an official body analysis that you do. You can just, when you're out and about, just observing people's curvatures in general. Yeah. And what's interesting is when I say see somebody, a curvature in somebody, I'll go down, I'll look at their feet and the consistency of like how one position of a foot can affect a different part of the body. And you start to see, I mean, there's endless people out there to be reading. Not that like I'm going around reading people, but it's interesting. It's like, that's where I learn most is how are people even walking down the street and how does it their foot point affect where their head is? And you start you start to see similarities, but they're not the same story in each person, if that makes sense, necessarily.
The foot point's like the most important thing. It is the most important thing. And the whole body, whatever we do, the foot point is where it's at because the foot point affects everything above it.
And the same with the base chakra is we can be clearly connected up in our higher chakras, but if our base, our foundation here on Earth is not solid, to pull that energy down to manifest it can be difficult. So that's why, like Agnieszka was saying, why we even start with the foot point.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So yeah, so it looks like we're at 5:06. So unless there's anything in anybody's
last question.
I have one.
Go for it.
Me? Okay.
Yeah, go for it. Do one more question and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay, just a quickie. When you talk about the crown and brow chakra, the brow, I mean, you're not looking at the eyebrows because that's the throat chakra, right?
So, no.
So you're only looking at the forehead. And the first segments of the limbs.
What do you mean, first segment of the limbs?
Or the second segment of the limbs.
Think the brow chakra is just the forehead.
Yeah, I'm sure. What do you mean by segments of the limbs?
Because
are you talking about fingers?
We drew those out. Yeah, the fingers, like the top is the crown, and then the next one is the purple, and then the third one is the
So that would be, Are you talking about when you're doing the body analysis or when you're doing are you talking about the actual sheets? All of those. I would say, yes, it is relevant to be looking at, because remember, it's also in the toes as well.
Yes.
But when you're filling out the first form of the body analysis where it says brow chakra, that's basically what we're saying is the brow in the head. But the beautiful thing is when we look at a body and I go, I see this in your brow and I also see it. So it's reinforcing what's going on in the finger segment where the brow is and then pulling in the toe. And then you're starting to bring almost pieces together for them. I don't only see it here. And that's where the body really starts to tell a story because I'm not just seeing it in one place. So
I have no idea how to read the second segments of fingers or toes as it relates to the brow chakra.
I would leave the brow chakra for now, okay, as the forehead.
Okay.
As you're for what you're doing with the body analysis, it's clearly the forehead for the brow chakra. as far as the fingers go, then you can get into studying the fingers and you can start to see a connection with what's going on in that segment. If it's pinched, if energy is being cut off, and you can say there may be a a blockage of energy in the brow from being able to have a vision. If people are having difficulty with a vision, you can look at that part of on their hands and their feet, what's going on there. But I would keep it to the forehead for now.
Okay, because I'm partly curious also because the first segment of my big toes have that big callus. And I don't think it's not on my sheet when you looked at it for Anna to write down for me. I don't have anything down. What do you say about that?
So the first segment of the toe, of the big toe, are you talking about like the tip?
No, the side, that big place at the side that a number of people have.
It also would be if there's a callus there, I would say where are you putting the pressure? How are you walking? Is there a balance on your whole foot? Because the way I'm envisioning it, for there to be a hardening there, I mean, there's more pressure going there, which means, again, how I'm envisioning it, your foot is tilting inward, so it's a collapse in your inner world. So it'd be about where are your feet when you're walking? Because where there's calluses is where more pressure is being putting on and more of a protection coming on. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I understand what you're saying. My callus is at the side, and for the last 5 months, I've been wearing pretty much nothing but flip-flops, and it's still there hard as ever. Mm. So I'm curious for myself.
I guess I'd have to see it, for one thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, come see me, okay?
That's okay. I was just asking because Adamantia, you kind of looked at my toes for a quickie, and we ran out of time, so...
I mean, I would have to see it again because, I mean, I can go based on what I'm hearing, what I'm seeing, but I'm having a hard time visualizing the callus on your brow segment of your toe.
It's kind of like some people say, snake head toe, big toe, snake head. No. Really? Because that's a very common thing that, spiritual people get very upset about it, reflect like, oh, this is like, there's something major wrong. And reflexologists also talk about it that a person may have brain tumor or something.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, well, no, I don't believe any of that. I'm just wondering what you might say about that.
I would have to see it, to be perfectly honest, because I would have to see it.
Is it on the right foot or the left foot?
Both.
It's a thinking issue, like an inner thinking problem. And if it is on your brow chakra, that would have to do with your not trusting your own intuition.
It's
overthinking your intuition.
It's right in the... It's really the crown segment. The bottom half of the crown segment above.
Okay, so then if it's in the crown segment, it's what Agnieszka is saying.
Yeah, it's thinking.
Yeah.
What's thinking anyway? So, big toe.
But the balance of your energy means that you're not walking flat on your feet as well. Then that's significant. It's a falling into the inner world. So it's almost like an insecurity as well. Do you see what I mean? I mean, and again, that's why it's hard without seeing the foot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next time I see you, the first thing I'm going to do is look at your feet.
Okay.
So, thank you for your questions, though, Kay. It was awesome. I hope that was helpful.
Yes.
Good. All right. Have a good day, ladies, and we'll sign off now and stop the recording.
Yeah, and we'll talk soon.
Talk soon.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.